Okay, we are here with Julie Scott, VP of all things media.
The media things.
The media things. There's a couple media things going on around here. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me. We're going to ask you all the hard questions.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Starting with, what's your favorite kind of hat?
All right. Set up.
We may not.
Not rehearsed whatsoever.
She started talking about this, and we're like, stop talking about it. We're going to talk about it because it's what people really care about.
This is what the people need to hear.
Yes.
So sitting down next to the two of you, you have these amazing black, flat-brimmed hats, which I am a collector of at home in Chicago. I have a wall with two shelves of black, flat-brimmed hats that I get from cool brands. Favorite one is from... I accidentally ended up at like kind of a terrible sushi restaurant in Hawaii, if that exists.
Okay, got it. However.
But they had the best black flat-rimmed hat.
That's where I would expect to find the good one.
Amazing. Well, the good news is just off camera, we have a black flat-brimmed hat. Let's bring that in real quick for you. Because
we were
ready. We got prizes.
You are like Oprah.
Flat-brimmed hat.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, did you know this? I found this out just a little bit ago. In Hawaii, the reason why the sushi ain't so great is because they actually import like 98% of the food into the country because they can't support the amount of tourism with just the local
fare.
Well,
this makes a lot of sense.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, a lesson learned, when you want a good hat, go to sushi, go to Hawaii. When you want sushi, don't go to Hawaii.
Right, that's the perfect lesson.
Lesson learned. Well, you know what, that's interesting because it actually, I know this is crazy. We can connect all dots.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for this connection.
Because a lot of what the media shows is not all that's put there. And a lot of what media is not all it's cracked up to be. But when you tie media in with the right way, with content and data and solutions and all that type of stuff, when you create the ecosystem where the hat matches the sushi, matches the communication beforehand, matches the mass marketing of Hawaii saying come here for tourism, when you match all that together, and from what I know about cars.com is that the heart of Alex Vetter and the heart of the company is to match all that together. How are you in your media ecosystem in charge of all things media?
Yes.
Starting to see where all of those lines are a lot more clear than they were in maybe our segmented industry prior.
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a lot to unpack there, but...
I know, it's like
one-word answer.
Right. And you guys are content creators, right? And so when you're creating content, you're also trying to think about who is the audience I'm trying to reach, right?
Yeah.
And that's how we think, is who is the audience that a dealer is trying to reach? If you're selling cars, who do you want to reach? Car shoppers. And it's pretty simple when it comes down to it, right? If you are going online, you go to cars.com, what are you shopping for?
Most likely cars.
A car.
Okay. That was a trick question.
We were coming for
I kind of delivered the question a little bit tricky, so I apologize. But if you go to like Lowe's.com, you're searching for
home improvement
stuff. Right? So if you're a car dealer, right, and you all of a sudden see that your agency or you're working with Google is running your ads on Lowe's, that's not relevant. That's right. Not good placement. It's not even native to what the consumer is looking at
they're
when they're on
Lowe's.com.
They're not in that mindset. When you're on cars.com, you are in the mindset. So what we, back to your question about how do we connect all this together, when someone comes to cars.com and they're looking for a car, on behalf of a dealer, what I want to make sure we're doing is following that consumer, right? Wherever they go off, in the internet, OTT, wherever it might be. So when I think about what a dealer wants, I am trying to give them a more effective, more efficient, more relevant way to reach that in-market shopper on cars and when they leave cars. And so it's really connecting the experience for the consumer on behalf of the dealer. I really think of myself as an agent on behalf of the dealer. And Alex Vetter bleeds that, right? You said it.
He sure
bleeds purple from the top down. And we are trying to do what's right for consumers and customers alike.
You know, as an industry, we spend billions upon billions of marketing and ad dollars looking to find and attract and acquire customers. And what I hear you saying is that, like, efficiency does two things, is it saves time and money typically, right?
Yes.
And so where are you utilizing that word efficiency to save time and money both for the dealer and the consumer at this point?
I'm going to go to the very first thing you just said. I used to call it spray and pray.
Yeah.
We all know what you mean.
I got this money. Try and reach somebody, right? I'll give you a really good example. And I'm going to pick on Google a little bit because they're so
We all love to do it.
They can
handle it.
We can pick on
Google.
They
can handle it.
Google will tell you there are more in-market shoppers for a vehicle than there is in the U.S. population, right? So we talk about spray and pray.
Okay.
So efficiency means only reach people who are actually shopping for your vehicle, right? Don't waste money on trying to spray and pray. And it's really quite simple. When I think about like the cars.com shopper, you want to follow them appropriately, right? And we're going to do that through video, social, display, and search. We're not going to overdo it. We're going to think about frequency, right? We're going to think about when they convert, what action they're going to take, what's their next action. We're going to do it in a smart way so it makes the dealership look good, right? And we're not going to waste the dealer's money doing it.
I love, you know what? I haven't heard people say that type of mode a lot. It's like, we're just going to hit people wherever they're at, whenever they're at, because like we need to acquire the customer. But really not just looking at frequency as a volume play, but also an efficiency play, going, no, it actually only takes 7.3 touch points or whatever the touch points that we recognize, instead of going, well, if we can get them 12 times, we're going to get them 12 times, right? And I think that that's really key, because as a consumer, right, there are some brands that I'm like, okay,
stop already.
It's like the high school, you know, person that's after you for a date, and it's like,
never had that problem.
You probably shouldn't be asking again, right? At this point, I might say there's going to be
two
stalker
steps
stuff,
away
right?
from a restraining order.
That's right.
Some
that's
businesses
right.
you really do wish you could put a digital restraining order on.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I understand that, because you build up, and the worst part about that is you're making the consumer upset. And you're literally building like a resistance to your brand. Like, I will not go there. And some people will shake that off, but that's a real sentiment.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing too is you have such a short window to reach a consumer appropriately, right? Yeah. So on cars.com, we know 70% of our shoppers who come to the site are undecided on make, model, and dealer. Right?
Wow. So they haven't even chosen the car yet.
Less loyal than ever. Right? And that's hard to hear, whether you're an OEM or a dealer. We also know that of those shoppers, more than 50% are going to make a decision in 30 days. 30 days.
So that means they're 70% are unsure of what they even want to drive or who they, and then within 30 days, half of them are going to make that final decision.
That's right. It's crazy, right? And I think during the pandemic, when the consumers started shopping differently, they were online more, expecting more from their dealer digitally, right? When that started happening, consumers started inventory shortages. Everything got compact. Now, as inventory comes back, I think we're going to see it spread out a little bit again.
Yep.
But one of the things I think about, if I'm a dealer, right, I got to reach out in-market shopper. How often is my data refreshed? If you're working with a data provider, it's typically every 30 days.
You're already done. You
50% of those people made the decision.
Done. Wow. The data's already outdated. Yeah. So, you know, we try and think about real, pure in-market shoppers real time. So our data is refreshed daily. You're always reaching somebody who was just recently shopping.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Dropping knowledge.
And flat brim hats. Julie, it has been such a pleasure to spend a few minutes and get to know you a little bit. It makes us so happy that we get to contribute to your collection. And thank you for the work that you do and spending a few minutes with us today.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you for listening to In the Dirt with Asodu. We love the automotive industry and the people who make it run day in and day out. We would love to connect with you more through our Daily Dose of Fun, a free email that you can sign up for at asodu.com. That's ASOTU.com. We put our heart and soul into it every day. Thanks again for listening. Join us next time for more conversations In the Dirt with Asodu.